Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we're recapping episode 2 of Secret Invasion, titled Promises, in full spoiler details. So if you haven't seen the episode, I would get out of here. And I'm here with a guy that, like, I have intros, but they all feel mean. Like, I was going to joke about firing Tommy and, you know, but it's my good buddy Tommy.
Well, let's just sit here and let's play a game, Michael. Tell me something I don't know about podcasting, okay? Tell me something I don't know about Stark Wars podcasting.
You know, actually, I didn't have anything prepared, but I know we have to play this game on the podcast.
Like the tell me something I don't know?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We'll put a pin on it.
Yeah. Just about life. I mean, I don't know that I ate a sandwich today.
That's true.
You didn't know that. That's the key. I think you got to be very specific. Where it's like you could be like, "Tell me something you don't know," but it's like, "Tell me something you don't know." I don't know about the movie Jurassic Park. Then it's like, "Oh man, now it's narrowed in. Now I got to really think about it."
Okay, let's try this. Tell me something I don't know about anime.
Oh, okay. Do you know that anime will sometimes have filler episodes that last very long time and you should not watch them because they're trying to give the manga more time to write more books so that they don't surpass them?
I did know that because I think you've complained about it.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned this before that Full Metal Alchemist has 2 series because they did surpass the manga, so they just wrote their own version and then went back later and was like, oh, let's tell the actual story now.
So, Tommy, I'm excited to get to your takes. Do you want to write your own version of Secret Invasion, or is this working for you?
It is working for me, as long as I separate it from everything I know about Nick Fury and everything I know about Secret Invasion. I'm really liking the journey they're taking us on. I thought this was a great episode. I liked it better than the first one. I really liked a lot of the scenes. I think there's like 2 scenes in this that I was like, that's some real good acting happening between these actors. But I think for me, and maybe this is my own problem, it was the same with Civil War, where sometimes they get a focus on something. And for me, Nick Fury is my Amanda Waller. Like, he is supposed to be the person that even when things are going wrong, he'll never let you know they're going wrong, because that's Nick Fury. And so it's interesting to me, this new version. I kind of like it. I mean, I feel like it's going somewhere. I think we're going to get a Nick Fury 2.0 by the end of this, I'm hoping. And so it's like kind of like Nick Fury get his groove back is how I'm feeling so far in this. Some interest. I think overall I'm excited for the show.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like, I understand that like this is a very different Nick Fury than we've gotten in the past. But I really like how they do this with the Marvel characters. You know, I like the evolution. I like Smart Hulk. You know, he's a different character than he was. You know, it's like, I mean, this is how people actually change and evolve. So I feel like in a way, while it's maybe not something we expected from him, you know, who are we to say these experiences that happened to you shouldn't have led to you being like this, you know?
Yeah, and I think for me, I just needed to hear the line about how, like, it's really the you know, the blimp that, like, did it for him. Like, he is scared. Thanos shook him. And the minute there was, like, a reason to it, I'm okay with the change. It was just like, okay, what are we doing, Nick Fury? You're clearly, something went on. But knowing that it's because, like, this was just something he could have never fathomed. Like, this is outside of his reach to the point that he is scrambling and he can't find solid ground right now. So yeah, I'm excited. It's definitely a new Nick Fury.
I'll tease my takes coming up, but there's another character that has made a big change that I hate, and I hate this character. You can probably think on that.
I have some rumbling thoughts, you know, rumbling into my tummy on who you might be talking about.
But let's get in the episode. We'll get to that. We open on something that was really interesting. It was very weird that they chose to put this in this episode rather than the first one, in my opinion, unless there's maybe something I'm missing here that you can touch on. But we get the Captain Marvel flashback in the second episode to open it. It was almost like a previously on, you know, and like I've heard a lot of people complain online being like, you know, oh, it would have been nice to like, I haven't seen that movie, or I don't like, you know, like the casual fans don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, I think it's just to set the like the tone of, I think this promise, this idea of Fury telling the Skrull that like he will help them, he will, it's a mutual thing, and then he never fulfilled his side of the promise. And I think it's like, obviously it's the name of the episode, I think that like going back to this Captain Marvel sets us back into the time of like a more naive Nick Fury as well. I think he bit off more than he could chew, I think, as we see. And I think it sets the tone of like, he really had these people believing in him. And it kind of gives you a perspective of, you know, we see Garvik it shows how he let Nick Fury let him down to the point that he's now doesn't believe, he's now trying to take his own, create his own path. If no one's going to help me, then we'll do it on our own.
Yeah, and it is interesting because I don't believe this was knowledge last week that, you know, Fury knew Gravik, or at least Gravik knew of Fury. So, yeah, there's some interesting, they're building some stuff here. So,
yeah, and like Gravik and Talos's daughter, too. There was some, like, as kids, they've been together since that long. Definitely a lot of, like, I think that's what I like about this episode. It builds off a lot of things we were told in the first episode and expanding on a lot of these relationships. We're seeing some further progress. But yeah, what else about this scene, this opening like flashback?
There was a very interesting part when like he's kind of making the deal with them, like, hey, you guys stay undercover and help me, I'll help you, vice versa. There's this moment where they all started walking forward and turning into their new aliases, right? And I thought that this was gonna end like on a big reveal that one of these Skrulls is gonna turn into a character we knew. Like, that would have been the place to do it, right?
It would have been really cool if there's someone since the beginning of Marvel that we now know has been the Skrull this whole time. Would it, like someone in the background, someone like I don't know, just someone would have been. I agree with you. I think it was a little missed opportunity to give a little cameo there.
But I'm sure we'll get something like that eventually. But it was just interesting, like all of this, like, I mean, I got a sound clip for it, I guess.
This is human trafficking.
Right? Kind of.
Kind of. Yeah. Hey, blend in for now. Help me help the world, and then I'll get back to you. This is the question. Did Nick Fury do anything? Did he just like, okay, cool, they're gonna take care of stuff for me. Let me go found the Avengers. Let me go do some other stuff for a while.
Yeah, he got very distracted from this, I think. Yeah. He just said this and walked out and never thought about it again.
Yeah, this should be probably a pretty big priority for you, right? If you have an entire like species that you're trying to keep hidden, you should probably try to get them resolved and not just leave them out. And he was asking, maybe that's what, was he asking for this invasion? Is this all Nick Fury's fault? I think that's the question of the series, right? Is he responsible for all this?
Yes. It kind of seems that way. And that might be some of his motivations we get later on, where like Rhodey is talking to him. He's like, dude, you're acting like you're the only one who can fix this. And maybe there is a part of him that's like, I'm the only one who can fix this because it's my mess and I need to clean it up.
And that's, and you know, we'll get, but like, that's classic Nick Fury that I do like, is like this, like, as with the Rhodey scene, like there was a little bit of that, like, superheroes do talk back to Nick Fury because he does act arrogant, like that Amanda Waller, where like, Ultimate Alliance too. I love the Ultimate Alliance games. And there's a scene in that where it's like a lot of the heroes are like, you just send us on these missions. You don't tell us about it. You always have to be the one in charge, and maybe you shouldn't be. And it's like a really good question that's asked of like, should one man have the burden of the world on his shoulders?
Mm. Yeah. So let's go to this next scene here where we kind of cut back to where we left off at the, this terrorist attack. And there's a couple things going on here. We see one of those Skrulls get arrested. We see Gravik drive off with Gia. And then we also see somebody grab Fury, throw him in a van, and then turn into Talos. Which, like, this, I, like, forgot that this happened. And, like, Talos is in, like, a couple more scenes and then turns back into the woman. And I was like, oh, yeah, I completely forgot. This is, it was kind of, this stuff kind of gets a little confusing to me when they're, like, they're a person, they're a Skrull that's already turned into a person, and then they're turning into another person. It's like this Russian doll, I guess it makes sense since we're in Moscow, this Russian doll effect of Skrulls.
Yeah, I guess that's the question too. Can they turn into any, like, anyone? If let's say me, Skrull, I have claim on this identity, can you turn into my identity? Could you, like, is there anything stopping that? And like, how many can you have? Because definitely they have their favorites, right?
Yeah.
But it is interesting. We need a list of who turns into who likes being who, because it gets messy.
Here's my next question too. So they can shapeshift the clothes too?
You know, I take that as Marvel doesn't want to have to explain that they have to carry a duffel bag of clothes with them at all occasions.
It just like, it makes like, I mean, none of it makes sense to be fair, but
no.
Yeah, you think that they can only do like the organic material of the person, not like their hats and earrings.
Listen, the Skrull that they, you know, maybe it's this whole DNA stuff. Maybe they have the DNA of clothes now.
Yeah, clothes DNA. Well, we had I mentioned last week they said that they had Skrull clothes, but they're still wearing human clothes.
They're saving when they win, when they have their victory, that's when they can bring out their Skrull clothes. Okay, their Michael, garb. The war is not over yet. They had to fight for the victory to wear their Skrull clothes.
Okay, fair enough. So let's see. This is where we get another scene with Fury and Talos. Because we cut from him getting kidnapped and then he's just on the train with Talos. So like, did he knock out Fury at this point? Like, how did he end up on the train after being kidnapped? And now he's like, oh, I'm just with Talos. Or maybe Talos is like, I kidnapped you. I don't know.
You know, whatever. There's probably a couple. Yeah. Either way, he's with Talos now, but they're not on good terms right now, Michael. I think this scene, gosh, these two, like, I get why people said like this series basically got greenlit because of the chemistry between these two actors. And like, this is one of those scenes that this train scene of, you know, we talked about the Tell Me Something I Don't Know. It was just such a good scene. And then when they're talking about it, it's a million Skrulls that got released. And Nick's like, why didn't I know? And they're like, well, Nick, you were kind of hands off. Like, you know what? You wanted to know what you wanted to know. And you didn't want to know all this stuff.
Yeah. And then, because this at this point when I'm watching this, I'd forgotten that. This is not Talos, right? We agree on that?
I'm not sure. I might have missed something. I thought it was Talos. I got confused, and maybe that's on me. I thought like the girl was just another form of him that he was using because Nick Fury.
I guess you don't know.
Yeah, and maybe I'm missing that on my watch, but
yeah, I don't know. That's a good point.
Nothing seemed like he was working for the evil side. Like he was like, let me meet with him, but I thought that was just for like at this point he's now just worried about his daughter. Mm-hmm.
Nick Fury is also telling the story here that I really like tuned out of, something about Susie and playing doctor and bullfrogs. And it was all to lead up to the Tell Me Something I Don't Know game. But Fury,
it was how Nick Fury's, listen, it was Nick Fury's romance past. Susie, this girl, there, you know, his mom was asking about it, but she knew, even regardless of his answer, the way he answered was how it was important. So, like, that's, you know, it didn't matter what Talos was going to give him.
And they were playing doctor? Like these two young kids? Like, that's suggestive, yeah. No?
What? Yeah, I guess I suggested as like, oh, two kids playing house, right? Like,
I guess. Maybe I'm being.
I guess depends on what kind of doctor they are. Like, if it's general practice, maybe that's okay.
Okay. All right.
You know, checking heads for like fevers and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hear you.
We'll move on. But yeah, so either way, Talos, if this is Talos or not, they're kind of he's filling him in on all kinds of stuff. And then we go to London where we see the casket with Maria Hill inside, and Nick Fury talks to Maria Hill's mother, Elizabeth. And she's very, everyone's so upset with Nick Fury. Like he gets all the blame in this episode.
Yeah, and I don't know. This scene felt a little too cute. I think this is the one scene that was a little... She almost hit it too on the nose. I felt like with some of her digs and some of her, like, very specific mention. It reminded me of in Civil War, the Iron Man and the mom of the kid who was like, this is your fault, bah! Mm. And just felt a little forced. It felt a little forced, Maria Hill's mom being like, she believed in you, and you know the risk. You know your daughter signed up for the agency. Like, to me, I would have had more respect to the parent. Was like, listen, I'm assuming it was for a good reason. And then Nick, like, the mother sides with Nick Fury, which actually makes Nick Fury feel worse because he wants someone to rip into him. Mm. I feel like that could have worked a little, but you know, still his choice.
She says, don't let it be for nothing. And like my thought was like, I feel like it's for nothing no matter what. Whether he succeeds, like I mean, she died. It sucks. Okay. Yeah. There's no way to like make that better.
Is there a world? Well, probably not, because I think they, if they die, they turn back to Skrull. Like, is there a world this is a Skrull and this is all just a fake out? Because again, they really did Marie Hill dirty by like, this was going to be her moment to actually have like a plot in the series, and they kill her off in the first episode. There's a part where it just really hopes Colby Smulders comes back.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't see a reason why this needs, like, are we going to see this character again?
Marie Hill. We could have killed off Nick Fury when we were supposed to in Winter Soldier. That's my hot take. He should have died in Winter Soldier. Maria Hill becomes the new Nick Fury, and then we see her go down this more hardened path trying to emulate Nick Fury. I think that could have been more interesting.
I mean, how do you give up on Samuel Jackson, though? Like,
no, and that's the thing. If he's saying, hey, I'll be in a bunch of more, I mean, yeah, you're going to choose Samuel Jackson over.
Sammy's going to do this till he's dead, I think. Right?
Maybe
I
even mean, after.
Yeah. Oh, yes. He's going to be the one that's like, yes, use my CGI face and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they've already got like the mold, I'm sure, because of Captain Marvel. So.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. So next scene here, we catch up with Gia and Gravik, and there's some conversation about Fury here. He kind of gives some of his opinions. He was hoping he was there, and he was talking about how he's old and he could have killed him. Anything to take away from this?
No, I think it's setting up something, but I don't know what it's setting up. Because, yeah, that was like, oh, I could have done it if I wanted to. Well, then why didn't you? there's an answer there. Like, there's something missing. Yeah. So I'm intrigued by it. I think their relationship is really interesting because it feels like they should be closer. And yet there is this distance. And we see it, you know, grow more. Jeff Lee is, like, doing some investigating on her own. And I think trying to figure out some answers. I think that's the thing that's missing me with her story is like, we are hearing from other people what she knows and doesn't know. Like, we kind of know that she doesn't know how her mom died, but believes him anyways. And so I want to know, like, I think I'm in the part of the series where I just need more information. And so as much information as I can get and like seeing things, flashbacks would be nice in some of these situations. To know who to trust, because at this point I don't know who to trust just looking at them, because anyone could be a Skrull. I don't know who to trust because everyone's saying countering things dialogue wise, like, you know, depending on which side you're talking to, they're all saying different perspectives. So it's like, I need something to ground me a little bit of what can I believe right now.
It's tough. And it's tough because like, I feel like that's the point, but also it can lead to a lot of confusion. So, you know, at what point is it just the concept itself is just too much. So, okay. So next here, they go to this like council of like underground politicians from across the world. I loved all this stuff. This was, and this is where I feel like Gravik really starts to shine for me, and like how he kind of overpowers them. And he's got like his own allies, and yeah, I just really enjoyed all of any takeaways here from this scene.
Good for Shirley Skrull for staying strong and being like, you know what, I'm still loyal. This is not what we were meant to do. But man, yeah, I really liked this scene. I thought it showed like him, you know, the fact that he wasn't just like given the power he's been fighting for, and they're like, I'm the only one trying here. You guys are just happy just being, you know, part of the wheel. We can make the wheel. Thought this was really good stuff. I thought the little montage of like the news and kind of seeing, I think something with Marvel we don't see a lot is how it affects everything. And like something this huge, I even thought they could go even harder on the fact that like, if US is suspected in attacking Moscow in this way, it would be like we would not be taking days to deal with this. This would be like, we need to figure this out right now because there could be a nuke sent our way right now. So that's the only part, but I thought they did a good job of at least showing that it is, people are caring about this.
Yeah, I think my thing there is like, do they really think it was like the US though? Because there's like this organization that's Americans against Russians, and that's not like, that's not like the National Guard, like that's not the army, right? That's just like it's like the Taliban, right? It's the American Taliban. It's the best description I have.
Well, and I think they're really banking on the Nick Fury being there and really putting that as like, see, America, Nick Fury, everyone knows. And it's hard too, because now you have the people who are talking about it are Skrulls. So you don't even know, again, it's that false information is getting out because they have agendas too. Everyone has a different agenda, and it really doesn't matter who did it. You know, it's whatever is going to help your side get what it needs.
All right, we need to go. We need to get back to Shirley here because I've got thoughts. Number one, is this Talos's wife?
Like in disguise, like she's been hidden, murdered. I mean, she's supposed to be dead, right? That's at least from. Yeah, I think that's what they've been talking about. Is like she died, and Talos is like, and Talos is like, Gravik did it. Like that was, and she and the daughter doesn't believe him, but that's what.
That's right. I forgot that entire plot. Yeah, I just couldn't figure out why she because she calls Talos right after this, and they seemed very close. So, with that being regardless, it was great that she. Bad move. If everyone in that room, like you just watched that guy get like throat punched and like they're like expecting you to stand up and turn into a scroll and say you're on their side. Like, I think you got it's like, you know, Survivor or Big Brother. You don't say no to an alliance, right? I mean,
more than you can do better.
Stick with it.
You can do more for your secret alliance too if you're inside getting information.
Mm. Yep.
So I thought about that too. But listen, you know, there are weaker people at that table.
Yeah.
NATO, I'm looking at you. You could have held strong.
So
not the NATO, I'm not looking at you specifically, NATO, but like the guy playing the NATO guy in the show. Please don't come for us, NATO.
Yeah, NATO's like reviewing this footage on like their meetings and
a little alert blurped up on their screen just now. Stark Wars talking about us.
That would really put us on the map. Maybe we need to I don't know.
Start saying controversial things so that the government starts checking out our podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So next here we go to New Skrullos. We get this overhead shot of Skrullos, which is really cool. And actually, I think I see what they're doing here, because it almost looks like Chernobyl. They have got like nuclear reactors. The whole town is like vacant, right? Is that what they're like? Are they saying that they can hide here because they're not affected by the radiation?
I think that was said of like they can't get attacked by the nuclear, so that's why they were doing all this stuff and why their ultimate plan is to basically they want everyone to nuke each other because then the humans die out and the Skrull can just take over without actually fighting anything.
Tommy, look at you paying attention to dialogue, and I mean, what would I do without you?
That's what I'm here for. I'm your. Tell me something I don't know about the Secret Invasion episode 2. That's what I'm here for.
Oh, okay. Let me think on that. I'm gonna quit now. You're opening yourself up to a pop quiz, so be careful.
I don't know. I'm terrified. I hate pop quizzes.
So we see Gravik like whispering to this dude, and then they like walk off, and then Gia's following. And then we get this, she goes into like this laboratory here, and there's some shady stuff going on here. They're talking about DNA. Tommy, believe it or not, I think I know where this is going.
I have ideas.
I know a comic thing.
about certain Skrulls that there's different, there's a couple unique Skrulls.
Yeah.
Yep. I also am picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it a spoiler to talk about that?
I don't think so. It's our theories. We're not saying it's not confirmed. It's just what we know and what we think.
Yeah. And actually, I don't know much aside from like the concept of super Skrulls and the fact that they can obtain the powers from other heroes.
Yeah. And I think this is the right place to do that. I don't think we're going to see Skrull in a lot of other things. And I think super Skrullers are a big thing. There's like, specific ones too that I would like to see. Speaking of, there was like earlier, I think it was earlier, they mentioned during the train scene, they mentioned this a Skrull to Emperor, a specific Emperor that everyone was running away from that also is maybe plays into something. I'm intrigued by the Skrull. This is the most like into Marvel stuff I've been for a while because it's new and it's unique and it's not the same old same, but I thought this science stuff was really interesting. Some Easter eggy names, you know, Groot, they got that Groot DNA. He probably leaves a bunch of DNA in
that's
fights.
True. He's like getting limbs chopped off and exploding. Yeah
And then the Frost Beast and a couple other the Hand from the Black Order guy.
I don't remember that. I saw that. I don't know what this is.
The Black Order guy, when Doctor Strange in Infinity War, when they're running down the streets and he does a little portal and cuts off the hand,
oh,
and then the hand sitting there, and then everyone's like, why didn't he just do that to Thanos and cut off Thanos's hand? That would have made a lot of sense because he already did it once in this movie.
How dare you, Tommy?
I'm sorry. Yeah, who am I?
You're really coming out. You're coming after NATO today. You're coming after Disney.
And Doctor Strange. I don't want to get on his bad side.
Smoke, brother.
This is you. You're in your villain era right now.
Oh, no. I'm a villain, but the eye isn't where you think.
Oh, my God.
But it's not where you think.
This is another. I feel like I'm way into the sound clips when it's just you and me. So I'll try to
listen. That's just us plugging. She better. I don't know if it's already over, but for Emmys, give her the guest star award.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Perfect. All right. But yeah, some science stuff, and it's nice to see that she's like at least snooping. It seems like. I mean, we can. Right, we know TV. She's probably going to come around at some point and join her dad and Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of when.
This feels very much like, I mean, I feel like we get this type of thing in every Disney Plus show where like a character is like snooping about something and they figure out like, you know, this is in She-Hulk when they found that like blog, you know, like there's always like the moment where they figure out like the bigger thing.
I don't get why people do this. You would never catch me. Listen, I love a good juicy gossip, some juice goose, but like, This is too, like, you're in danger, girl. Like, anyone could turn around the corner at any time. You need backup before you start doing stuff like this, a lookout. I don't know. I was very nervous for her.
I think she just needs more justification before she makes the decision that she does. I think she's just, I mean, this is like in the relationship where things are going very south, and then they search your phone, and then it's like, you know, they're already on the outs, and they just want that final thing.
So. Yeah, I know. I just searching people's places, being in place. We saw it in Hawkeye Kate Bishop kept snooping around the Swordman's house, and mm-hmm. I was like, you're gonna get, I don't know. Wouldn't it be me is all I'm trying to say. Wouldn't that be me? I'm content. I'm joining the Skrull side. Listen, you wear our Skrull clothes. I'm doing great.
Okay. So this is where we cut to the Rhodes portion, roadie portion of the episode here. And this is the man I have beef with. This is the man. What a little jerk this guy's being throughout the entire. So we get like a hearing here, and he's kind of like defending Nick, and then he meets up with Nick, and he's just so like, okay, let me go through. I wrote down the things that I didn't like that he did. He's constantly threatening to hand him over to the Russians, like completely just holding this over his head. Also not believing why he was there. Like this is what he does. Like he's trying to be helpful. Like he's not a super villain. And then also like, he's like, oh yeah, you are being helpful. We'll say that to the 2,000 that are dead. I'm like, why are you putting that on Nick Fury? Like this is going to happen whether he was there or not.
It can't be Rhodey, right? This has
good point.
Yeah. That's I'm like, when you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, I hate him too, because this can't be Rhodey. This didn't feel like Rhodey. Again, these actors, if he is a Skrull, these actors are doing a really good job of playing characters we know and playing them slightly off where you start to question it. And I said it last episode, and I said this, he doesn't feel like he's not my Rhodey. And maybe he is. And maybe he's just like I said, there is something about like superheroes getting sick of Nick Fury and kind of calling him out on his bullshit. But yeah, he kind of seemed off. The other reason I think Rhodey is a Skrull is earlier, the baddies mention how during the council meeting, oh, what about the Avengers? They specifically mention it just to be like, oh, don't worry, I have it covered. If he has control of Rhodey, then yeah, he kind of does, because Rhodey's probably the man in the big seat right now for the Avengers.
Yeah, and I mean, Nick Fury says that. I mean, that's I'm going galaxy brain now, because it is like Rhodey says something like, can we do that? Can we like get the Avengers? And that's when Nick is like, no, of course not. This is why you can't. And yeah, so I don't know. Maybe he was trying to like, let's pull some of these guys out. Maybe he was trying to bring them out of hiding a little bit.
Listen, it could just be Rhodey, and we're just like, oh, maybe not a great look, but I don't know. There's got to be something coming with this. You have people that can pretend to be people. It has to be someone that cuts deep. It has to be someone that, like, you know, Now, do I think Rhodey's dead? I don't think so. I would be pretty upset if he died off screen and just for this like TV show. But
yeah, I think they'll find him like tied up in their little human hive thing they got going on. So
yeah.
Interesting, Tommy. We broke it. I think we figured it out. I'm sure a lot of people had that figured out, and I was just dumb.
No. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else from this scene? I mean,
yeah. This is another scene where I, as much as I didn't like what Rhodey's saying, man, this was a really great scene. The context, like, I love. There was a couple lines. The mention of kind of talking about Alexander Pierce, where it's like, we took this from one mediocre man that didn't look like us. I didn't want to give it to a man that just does look like us. That's mediocre. Like, that was so good. Nick Fury being like, I'm Nick Fury. Even when I'm out, I'm in. Gosh.
And it's true. Like, that is true about him.
But even still, then he walks outside and he breaks. He's not that Nick Fury who, like, he doesn't even believe those words when he's saying it. It's such good acting from Samuel L. Jackson. Like, I really think that this is his as much as I think this could be Nick Fury 2.0 and the get his groove back, I also could see this be a bon voyage to the character of Nick Fury as well.
Yeah. So let's go to another plot in this episode where a lot of crazy stuff happens. There's these guys like beating up this guy in this meat locker. Olivia Colman, what's her character's name again?
Starts with an S. Sonia.
Sonia, that's right. Sonia's here, and she is the best. Like, the dude, she comes into that butcher shop, and the dude, like, the door's locked, and she's like, "Well, what do you think that says about me?" I'm like, "Heck yeah, girl!"
Yeah, if you're gonna replace like Maria Hill as like. With another, you know, character as the kind of the foil and the counter to Nick Fury. Man, she's selling it. This scene was awesome. The whole meat shop, her being like, you know, like, yeah, he might kill you, but you won't be like, if I don't get the answer, it doesn't really matter because you're going to be dead anyways.
Yeah. She's awesome. But yeah, so she comes in, she's like, I'm taking over this interrogation. And there's a couple things that she cuts his finger off, Tommy. That was wild to see on a Disney Plus show.
No questions. Like, she knew what her mission is here. Yeah. Like, cutting fingers off and being like, she already knew. She didn't even like, it was just to confirm her thought, but she knew that was a Skrull right away. Mm.
So is this a foil for Nick Fury? Because it seems like she's got the same motivations.
Well, the foil as in, sorry, I'm using it wrong. A like duo, a gotcha. Like,
yeah. A buddy cop, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. As a counter, as like in the sense that like, you know, someone to play off of.
But also like in the first episode, it's kind of clear that Sam doesn't trust, or Sam.
You're on first base basis.
Yeah, my buddy Sam. It's clear that Sam doesn't trust her though.
Yeah, you know, they definitely seem like they have history. But in a situation where you don't know who to trust, you almost have to go to the people that, like, if you trust them, great. It doesn't matter if you really trust them. You just have to make sure they're not a Skrull at this point.
So there was a moment in this where I thought we were about to get a Fantastic Four reference. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Remind me, because I think I've heard of it, but I didn't.
Well, she's like torturing him, and then he starts talking about, you know, their DNA plans or whatever. There's a machine that's gonna help us be stronger. And then she's like, well, like, who's doing this? And he's like, it's a married couple. I was like, oh. I thought this could be Sue Storm and Miss Fantastic thing going on here.
No, yes. See, I was on the married couple first because I haven't read in my notes because I was like, before they said the names, I was like, who's it going to be? Let's maybe we can come up with scenarios. And then they reveal the name and I'm like, okay, it's not really. I feel like there's potential to make this something big.
Yeah. There's a lot of moments in this episode, I guess, where we're like, oh, you could have done something really cool here.
Yeah. To go back real quick about the Rhodey thing, the other thing is like the fact that he knew about the Skrull and was very casual about it. Like, yeah, I kind of knew about this because of this mission back in the day, but like didn't care. That doesn't feel like Rhodey. Anyways, back to the meat shop.
It's all coming together for sure. Okay, so, and this is where Gravik shows up. Gravik comes in. He's a badass. I love Gravik. This is one of the better villains already for me.
Yeah, and I think I have a feeling we're not going to agree with him, but I think there's going to be a flashback that gives him some sort of like, man, his life was pretty sucky. It's going to make sense why he decided to go down this dark path. There's a lot of potential, I think, with this villain.
Well, even if they don't, though, like, I think of the High Evolutionary, where like the dude was just evil. And while Gravik kind of has, like, you know, he's been burned a little bit, like, I don't know that it was worth doing everything that he's doing now. I mean, so I don't know if he's just a bad guy. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, sometimes it's nice to have like motivation, but not all, like, it works if you don't.
Yeah, it won't. It makes the times you do that much better. The reason there was a time we were all like, we need more villains like Killmonger, is because we didn't really have anyone like Killmonger before Killmonger came around. Then everyone was like, every villain now has to have a sob story before we inevitably end their villainy career. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sometimes it's nice to be like, yeah, they're just bad and that's okay.
Yeah. So, let's see here. Yeah. So he comes in, he's taking him out. Sonya climbs through like a shaft of some sort under this meat locker, which I've been in a lot of, like, you know, walk-in freezers, having worked at multiple different restaurants. There's no vent shafts at the floor like this.
Well, and that's why I wonder if this was like a state, like a specific like government front meat shop, because she did, when she walked in, she specifically was like, where's the trap door or whatever.
Oh, okay. So
I think like she knew that they were going to show up eventually. She only had a limited amount of time. Shows how, like, again, how great she is. And then B, I think it might have been like, this is a spot that they use specifically for interrogating.
So this is the third time you've picked up on dialogue that I did not. So
or I'm just making stuff up and just, yeah. You know,
I mean, you're selling it. Okay, so let's see. They end up, they come in, they save him. And he's like, what'd you tell him? I was like, oh, this isn't good. I kind of saw where this is going. But they end up, so this is interesting. After this, they drive to the safe house, and there's cops at the safe house. But that guy didn't tell them about the safe house, right? Is this another line of dialogue I'm missing? Because he was like, I can't tell you about that. And then she started asking more questions, and that's how they got onto the machine and the married couple. I don't think he actually revealed the location of the safe house.
No, I think I'm with you on that. Unless I missed it too. I think that just happened to be. I think it was the safe house combination that lured him, and then he started to like react poorly to whatever she did to him. He was still having after effects, so I think he put the things together that, like, even regardless if he didn't tell her about the safe house, he clearly like let something go.
Okay, that's fair. I don't need to nitpick that. But
yeah, that's kind of how I felt. I also was like kind of confused, but I just played it off as like, well, he's acting kind of weird. I think, you know, he can just read the signs at this point.
Okay. Again, so then we get this next scene where they like drive him out into the woods. And I was like, oh, God. And at this point, I was like, he didn't actually, like, yes, he ratted, but not like we didn't see him like give it. Regardless, they take him out and kill him. So.
Yeah. Listen, as sad as it is, keep doing it, because I think it's going to get Emilia Clarke back on our side. Like, you know, that's the point, right? It's like, clearly your side is just as bad. Every side is bad in wars like this. Every side is doing something bad. Every side is that's what happens when you get messy into this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this next scene we get, the final scene, wild. What's going on here, Tommy? Can you set this up for us?
Gosh. Well, we have a Skrull just cooking in the kitchen, just casually. It looks like it also is Nick Fury's wife. And does he even know? Because, like, she turned back. There's so many questions in this and so many layers. Does Nick Fury know that she's a Skrull? I would like to think so, but she turned back to a human before he walked in, so we don't have, like, confirmation that he knows. Who is this woman? And also, like, when did this happen? Why? How? Who?
My vibes were like, there's no way Nick knows. Like, the fact that, because number one, why is she standing in there as like a Skrull in their house? Just like, I feel like she was only a Skrull to show us that she would transition when he gets home.
Yeah. And also, like,
be a human.
Was she just, and she doesn't even, this is probably their first time interacting, it looks like. Was she just cool that he's been up in space for like 2 years? If they actually are married, I don't know. There's definitely a lot of questions, and that's the whole point of this scene, right? Is we're supposed to be asking these questions. It definitely humanizes him a little bit. The fact that nobody knew. I don't think anyone knew that he has a wife. I had a theory at first, but I don't think it. I was like, what if this is Talos's wife? She faked her death to be with Nick Fury. Now I think that'd be too much drama for this show. But when we watch the Real Housewives of Nick Fury, that's when we'll get those drama.
I was gonna say this is a Bravo show waiting to happen. Real Housewives. Yeah, so yeah, I guess we'll find out. I mean, I don't really have any predictions. This could have been something that's always been, I don't know. Well, I guess I'll say, let me ask you this. Is it smart for him to keep his wife a secret?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think you always, when you're in his line of work, I think you have to, we've seen it too many times bite people in the butt. And I think this is one of those moments. Now, do you like that we're getting so much Nick Fury? Again, there's a part of me that likes the mystery, and I like characters that keep some mystery. And I don't know if I want all this information about Nick Fury. What are they going to tell me next? What his favorite food is? What is number one song is that he listens to in the car and bops to? I don't need to know this. Like, I don't know. That's my thought. As much as I think it's going to be really cool and play into the plot, there's a part of me that's like, there's something about keeping Nick Fury this air of mystery. I don't know.
I just don't agree, unfortunately.
I know.
I love my buddy Sam. So
can we go back to the days where he's popping behind couches and he's like, I'm starting the Avengers Initiative? Gosh, where the eye patch? Where
I think the eye patch will come back.
I think it's gone. I think it died in Winter Soldier. I think he's done with it.
Oh no. Okay. That's too bad.
When the big mystery was that a cat scratched out his eye.
Yeah, then it was like, now that my prequel movie's out, I can stop wearing this.
Now that the audience knows.
Yeah. Okay, Tommy, any final thoughts on the episode? I mean,
no, I'm really liking where they're going. I think the DNA thing is really fascinating. I think the idea that they're collecting, I think it's a really good opportunity to show a lot of Easter eggs to past movies and past characters. I think that's one of the things I'm big on in the politics. I actually am really liking like the talking scenes. There wasn't a ton of action in this episode, but I still felt very captivated. I thought the pace was really well done. I thought, like I said, the acting was some of the best acting I've seen in a really long time with Marvel. We've kind of been doing the comedy thing, so it's nice to have a more serious thing happening.
Tommy, you can't speak too soon with these Marvel shows because, you know, we get a WandaVision finale, right? This is the best start to any of the shows for me. Last week, that was my number one favorite premiere thus far. And it's this, like you said, this episode was better than the last one. This is on track to be my favorite MCU show.
I still think you're too harsh on WandaVision. One bad, the rest of it was fantastic. Maybe do a rewatch at some point.
That would be fun. And then also like re-listen to our takes back then.
Ooh, yeah. Like we do it. Yeah. We call out past Michael and Tommy. Hey, you idiots. You had this opinion.
I mean, we had a lot of theory. We were big time, like tinfoil hat back then. And
we were just young and naive. We were like, Marvel's, we just got, that's the problem. We just got out of Thanos world and we were like, Marvel's cooking with gas. They're going to do huge things. Big things are on the horizon for Marvel. Mephisto, we see you. You're coming around.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah. And I think that's where we learned our lesson too. It's like, let's not plant our flag too much. Yeah. Here.
I mean, it's hard to be optimistic when you get Ralph Bonard, Michael. Okay. I will never forget.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Very upset.
As hard as I am on WandaVision, I like Ralph Boner.
I was very upset. I'm so don't get me started, Michael. I'll be 50, 100 years from now when I'm in a little jar, my brain is in a jar, there will be little thought bubbles that are still talking about how upset. I will never be more betrayed than when it showed Ralph Boner to me.
Yep. So there you go. Tommy, what as we close out here, what's going on in your world? You want to recommend anything? You been up to anything?
You know, I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. I'm Roy Kent. You know, if you haven't watched Ted Lasso, watch Ted Lasso. Great show. I watched that. I think, I don't know if I talked about it in here. I started it just this year, just a couple months ago, and watched all three seasons. Great show. That'd probably be what I recommend. And then otherwise, you know, hey, go treat yourselves. Whoever's listening, whatever you're doing right now, just whatever you've been like, I don't want to do this, but I should save money, or I don't have the time. You know what? Today, do it.
It's just coming to me. I've got a couple things to plug. I was on the Galactic Core podcast talking about The Flash. Have you seen The Flash yet?
No. When I see it, I'll see it.
Yeah, you can watch it. You can stream it.
I think that's what I was like on the teeter totter of seeing it. And I felt like I heard more, not negative, but more just kind of, it's fine. And
yeah, so it's not like, what we were led to believe, that's for sure.
Yeah, because people got some big paychecks.
Yeah. So Galactic Core podcast, if you want to check that out. I also joined the Kickball Friends to break down our top 10 movies of the year so far. So we did that. Tommy, what do you think about this? So we did our top 10 movies of 2023 so far. Robbie put the old Indiana Jones movies in his top 10. Is that fair? I said, I didn't know that was the rule.
Yeah, at that point, it's just, what are your top 10? It's not from this year.
I hope he hears this.
Like, cause... I might, Robbie, give it to you if it's like, oh, we remastered it and put it out this year. Maybe. Maybe I can give you that.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything. I mean, me being like, you know what? I'm going to give it to the Star Wars films. Just, you know.
Yeah. Just because. So, there's that. Check that out. It's a great podcast if you want like movie recommendations. Also, Tommy, I've watched a little bit more of My Hero Academia. And I liked it. It's good. It's good. It's good so far.
There's hype stuff. It's hard not to get. They do a really good job of the dub is one of the best dubs in anime. Sometimes anime. Sorry for those that tune out. Hey, we'll see you next week.
I mean, we're doing this at the end for a reason.
Yeah. So. I know we might have scared people at the beginning anime talk. They might have missed the whole episode. Listen, sometimes animes, the dubs are terrible. Like they don't put a lot of money into it. It's kind of just like, okay, we're getting this out to get it out, but our focus is the subs. My Hero is one of those that like the studio that makes it is incredible. It has a good track record of past anime as well. And, with the music and everything, when All Might's in that second episode, you find the big twist. Spoilers for My Hero, we might talk a little bit. Is like, yeah, Michael, how do you feel? He's gonna be the hero.
Yeah, I was really excited for the story to be. He can be a hero without his powers, right? Is he gonna be like a Batman? You know, like I felt like there was space for him to be a hero without superpowers, and like I thought that was gonna be the lesson of the whole thing. So I was put on a heel turn. I'm not upset about it. It's just not what I expected by any means.
Think of it like Captain America. There's actually like a huge similarity between Deku. Like he goes running in just like Captain America, you know, jumped on the grenade in that first movie. And that's what showed nothing else showed them why he should be the person with the power. But it's because even without the power, he was a hero. Like even without he showed that even without the power, he still had all the things you need to be a hero. But they'll talk about it a little bit more. But it's like, you know, this is just giving him a seat at the table. You know, he was never even in this world. Where 80% has powers, it's very hard to have a Batman-like character. Yeah, sure. And so I think that's what they were setting up is like, he's now got that seat. He's there. But I hear you. Like, it would have been cool. In another world, it would be cool to see it. I think you'll like it because it gets pretty cool. Like,
okay. No, I'm not. Again, I'm not mad. Just shocked. Surprised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's a fair take at where you're at. Who's your favorite character so far? You're early.
Yeah.
What happened? What did you end on?
He's going to the school and they're about to do like their first training thing.
Yeah. So you met his teacher yet or?
Very briefly if I did.
Okay.
But yeah, there's like not a lot of characters really. I mean, there's like some reoccurring heroes. And then there's like his asshole like friend or cousin or whatever it is.
Bakugo. Gotcha.
Yeah, and then there's All Might, who you find out is kind of a loser, and then hey. So it's like,
I feel like calling Superman a loser, like, oh, there's Clark Kent, Superman, he's a big old loser.
I did like, I've only seen her twice, and it's very brief, but I like the giant, like the Ant-Man girl who gets real big.
Yeah, Mount Lady, I think is her name.
She shows up once in a while.
There's some cool heroes. When you say there's not a lot of characters, there becomes a lot. The class becomes all a big part of it. So I think you'll like the class. I think, listen, it's first season's only 10 episodes, so you can crush those very quickly and get right into it.
I'm just saying.
Like I said, I think the first season does a really good job of setting up the world. But like after the first season, the pace gets, I would say after the first two seasons, the pace gets pretty hyped for a bit.
Okay. Let's see.
I'm not gonna stop an episode.
I'm not gonna challenge myself to finish the season by next week, but we'll check in.
I think it's like, hey, if you have nothing better and you're like intrigued, I think the show will get you a point where you're not gonna want to stop because there's always a question being asked.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Tommy. Thank you for doing this. Anything else before we say bye bye?
No, I think that's it for us. Hey, we'll be back next week, right? And more Secret Evasions.
Yep, absolutely.
Should we at some point have like two other hosts come in, but with like Michael and Tommy mask on
cosplay?
And see if people and like it's like there are Skrull versions.
Oh my, you've actually got like, I don't know who'd be willing to do that, but that'd be a funny bit.
They're like we send them like a photo of our background so they get the photos exactly.
They can do virtual backgrounds and then, you know, wear a hat, fake beard, maybe glasses, you know.
And see who notices.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like to remind you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please, if you could leave a review. Actually, Tommy, can you riff for a second while I check to see if we have any new reviews? I feel like we don't, but I haven't checked in a minute, so...
Well, hey, if you haven't reviewed and you want to, I mean, listen, it helps us. It helps the podcast. I always like funny reviews. I feel like that's people used to do that with businesses, not the mean reviews that like are mean to people's businesses because you don't like the person, but like the ones where it's like, I saw some in the past where it's like, this person saved my life once and it's like it had nothing to do with the actual business.
The last review we had was from Rosie, the Haitian mama, which I told you about. Yes. So that it's been a while since our last, if you want to be the hero, we'll read it on the show. So speaking of My Hero Academia, be the hero, be the, your superpowers leaving reviews on indie podcasts like
My Hero Review Academia.
Also please subscribe because like we said, we're going to be here every single week with Secret Invasion coverage. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. And also we have a little Discord community going on. So if that's something you're interested in, you can hit us up and we will get you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye. Bye.